Blog Talk Radio.
So y'all got gumbo, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the song right here that kind of started the whole album off. This is kind of the spirit I was in when I was working on it. I was still living in California at the time. And I was taking some meetings with some labels and whatnot, you know. And it just seemed like they wanted me to be somebody who I wasn't, you know. So I left that meeting and I started to write this song right here. I knew I wanted to do something different. I knew I had to maybe get away from L.A., get my mind back to what made me fall in love with music in the first place. So I moved back to New Orleans, my hometown, and started to get back to myself again. And I decided I was going to be myself.
All right, shalom, shalom, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that song. That is called Claustrophobic by P.J. Morton. That's Bishop Morton's son. And I met P.J. when he was a very young man. I don't think he remembers. But I happened upon this song, and I was like, oh, I like that. Real, because I like jazz. You know, I kind of like love jazz. And he's a pianist, and I like the piano, you know, and all that good stuff. So it was very interesting. It was a beautiful song. You know, I want to give everybody a few more minutes, so let me play this one for you, too, because, I mean, this is really nice. I like this one, too. And then we're going to give people a little bit more time to call in. But this is actually him singing with a young lady from the other nation. And this girl, oh, my goodness, I want you here. Just give me a minute. Heal me for a second. I'll be right back. Check this out.
Yes, yes. I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. And the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze. Keep me warm in your love. Your soft lady, and it's me.
All right, Yeba. I mean, it was really nice. All right, everybody, thank you so much for humoring me through that. I just found that this weekend. So, you know, I've been jamming all weekend after the Sabbath was over with. All right, anybody that can hear me, please push one. I just need one person to let me know you can hear me. I know yesterday was kind of rough. I don't have nobody pushing one yet. Y'all don't hear me? Somebody push one. Anybody push one. Okay, I got you. Thank you, thank you. All right, I know yesterday was kind of rough. It was a rude awakening. It was scripture. It was a scripture that just kind of shook everybody for a moment. Some people still shook, but it's okay. You know, it's okay. Because at least we need to know. You know, I think, you know, I always ask the question, what would you prefer, to know or not know? You know, and everybody said, well, I think I want to know. You know, but with knowing comes a responsibility to understand, you know, and it's hard for some people to understand. It is, it gets rough. It gets real rough, you know. So I just wanted to open up the floor today, you know, to ask, you know, about yesterday and, you know, what was your feeling behind all of the things that we learned? Because it was short, but it was powerful. And, you know, and some people ain't called in, you know, because they got attitudes. I understand. I get it. But like I said, when we finish, I'm going to put out a challenge. It's not really a challenge. I'm going to open up the floor when we finish. And we're almost done. I'll say maybe another month or two, maybe 3 months from now. I'm going to allow someone, I haven't decided who it is yet, to come in to our class and explain to us the plan of salvation without using the New Testament and without bringing up the name of Yahushua. I want to see it. I want you to walk all the way through it. And the thing is you can't use the materials that we've already showed you. I want to see how this thing plays out without using the New Testament and then without using him. I want to see how they see this, you know, because from what we read yesterday, that there's a group of people that will never see it, they will never understand it, and they'll never get it. And this was purposed by Yah. Now, who these people are and what's in their blood type, I don't know. What's in their DNA, I don't know. You know, but I think that this was really interesting, you know, and I never meant for it to offend anyone. You know, it's just that when we bring this information, we have to show it all, you know, without causing any friction or any problems. You know, so I just wanted to know, I'm going to ask Brother Yerushalayim, I know this is him, if you can talk. Brother Yerushalayim, can you talk?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you, sometimes people are listening from their job, you know, and they really can't say nothing.
Yes.
So yes. What do you think about yesterday and the whole dynamic of the teaching?
Well, it caught me off guard a little bit. I had read some of that before. It caught me off guard a little bit, but then, you know, it kind of made me really do some thinking and looking around at the people that I interact with on a daily basis, the people that are Israel, how I react with them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it makes sense. That's why they're not getting it. That's why some people will just argue you down. No, and it seems so simple to us, those of us that's on the call. Everything seems so simple, you know, and it's like, why do you don't get it? But now I know why you don't get it.
And it could have been offensive to some people, you know, because this is the point. Go ahead. Not only does it apply to not getting the fact that they're Israel, but not getting the whole story of redemption. Because when it's mentioned, when he references it in the New Testament, and he's speaking in parable about the kingdom, and he's talking to the disciples about the kingdom, and they ask him, like, why do you always speak in riddles? He said, because of what Isaiah said. I'm referencing Isaiah where, you know, lest they understand what I'm trying to tell them, and lest they repent, I have to forgive them. So some people are not going to get the whole plan of redemption because they don't see it.
Yeah. I don't see, you know, but maybe it's me. I don't see how that would be offensive to some folks because we should understand that. Some people are not going to get it. You know, this is going to happen.
Yeah. You know, and for years and years and years, I have been in Israel, and I've listened to several debates, and I've listened to several people debate, yes, the New Testament, no, the New Testament, yes, Yahushua, no, Yahushua, yes, this, no, this. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, this is a waste of time. Excuse me, because clearly everybody is sticking to their own guns And nobody is conceding to say, okay, maybe you could be right or maybe you could be right. Everybody's believing that they're right. And when you read that scripture, now you understand why. Because no matter what you do, certain people are never going to see it. They never going to see it. Never.
No, they won't see it. They can't.
And it doesn't mean that they're not Israel. And it doesn't mean that they're not a part of the bloodline. It doesn't mean that. What it means, though, is that they will go to a certain point and that's it. They won't go any further. Some people will get to the wilderness and that'll be it. They won't make the cut. Some people, for that reason, I'll say that for that reason. And then you'll have other people that are there that won't make the cut for another reason.
Yeah, because we're going to bring them same ideas and attitudes and mindsets with us when we go.
Exactly. So then knowing that, do you think that we should expect unity of any kind?
No, I wouldn't say that we shouldn't expect unity of any kind. I think we're going to find some. I think those that are going to unify because of truth, righteousness, and understanding, they'll come together. But I also think that there's going to be those that are going to, I think they're going to, me personally, I think they're going to be groups. I think people are going to go over individually and stuff, and that we all going to have to make decisions based on our knowledge or what we know of the scriptures. But I also think that there's going to be a lot of people teaching their own stuff. That's why it's so important now to learn what we're learning now, because there's going to be a lot of people doing their own thing. And, you know, the ego is a powerful thing. And it has nothing to do with y'all, but they're not going to be able to let it go.
Yeah, that's true. That is so very true. It's unfortunate. You know, it's just really unfortunate. But it's better to know this and know this coming through the door than to expect certain results that you'll never get. I mean, it's like going around, I see you're at code 405, going around the hamster wheel. You can only go around it so many times and you realize, I'm just going in circles. I'm not really making any headway. And a lot of people got scared because they were like, oh, my God, are you talking about my family members? Or are you talking about, you know, my husband? We weren't speaking in those terms. We were speaking in terms of a nation, you know, because blindness in part has happened to Israel. We know that. The scripture says blindness in part has happened unto Israel. That's in the New Testament. But we're not talking about that. He specifically said in Isaiah chapter 6 to do this to these people so they would never repent and have to be forgiven. That's something totally different.
Just
saying. Hold on, let me open up the mic. Area code 405, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Salam, shalom. You remember during the times with Moses when they came out, when they came out of Egypt, those people, they were, you know, they were trying to do their own thing. They were trying to go over Moses. They were saying, hey, we are prince. I mean, we are, you know, from the same tribe. We can do better than you. So we're going to have rebels coming with us, whether we say it or not. And that's where the cut is going to make. And that's what the Most High did during that time when we came out of Egypt, is that he has to make the cut because everybody, yeah, they're going to make it over there. They're not going to meet, or they're going to have to go through the wilderness and go through what the Most High is expecting us to do, and there's a lot of rebels that's not going to want to do it, period, because they want to do their own.
That's true. I agree with you. That's a whole other group. He talks about the rebels. I think the rebels are going to be a group that's, like you said, that's ego-driven. That's a group. We need to group these people because you got blindness in part that's happened to Israel. He said he's going to plead with the rebel face-to-face. So if he's going to plead with the rebel face-to-face, then the rebel has a chance to change. But and then this group is a group that won't see it, sis, no matter what you do. They won't see it. I don't know if you was in class yesterday or not, you know, but if you weren't, we read from Isaiah chapter 6 where it was the Most High charged Isaiah to actually put this spell on a group of the Israelites so they would never be able to see it and they would never repent, so they would never be forgiven because they were not, even though they were Israelites of bloodborn, it was something in their DNA that disqualified them from going any further. And it caused a problem yesterday. Everybody kind of started squirming, and people kind of was like, well, wait a minute now, hold on, what about, and, you know, we had to clear it up that it wasn't about family more so than it was about a nation, because there's so much division in our nation as it relates to belief that I'm going to read the scripture for you in a minute, that it set in motion that some people are among us that even though they carry the bloodline, they still have the DNA of Lucifer.
I agree with you because it's in your own family. Look at Jacob and Esau. Look at Cain and Abel. They came from the same parents. One of them was of the devil. You know, one of them, you know, we think just because we have the same DNA that we are not, well, DNA or whatever, or we related, that we are the same, but we're not.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. Brother Yerushalayim?
That's a very good point. You know, that goes into what I was saying earlier. You know, it's just going to be these different groups, and I already just see it, you know, loading up. You know, you got Jack over here with this idea and Jane with this idea, and before you know it, you got all these people, and nobody, you know, but that third is actually worried about the Most High and paying attention to the Most High. This is going to be very interesting because, you know, I guess at some point I was waiting to see this big thing blow up where everybody knew who they were and everybody was so ready to go. And that's not, after reading that scripture, that's not going to happen.
Not at all. And when you know that after reading that scripture, you kind of come to terms with it. Okay, let me be about what I need to be about and do what I'm supposed
right.
to do. And you know what I'm saying? And move on from this point, because anything else is really is counterproductive. You know, you just what did the Most High say in the New Testament when the disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? He said, many prophets and righteous men would have loved to have known the things that you know right now. He said, but they don't. And he said, but count yourself blessed that you get a chance to see this. You know, so I mean, you know, and this is it. Let me read that to you in Matthew chapter 13. He said in the verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speak about unto them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So there's a clear distinction of two groups of people that one is supposed to know and the other one they're never going to know. Watch what he says. He says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. Watch, he said, therefore speak I to them in parable, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Watch what he says. He said, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Watch. He said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time, this is what he said. He said, this is purposely done, lest at any time They see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. He said, this group over here, we purposely fixed it where they'll never get it. Yeah, that's a lot. And then he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, watch what he says. He says, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So there's a group that's among us and our own nation that will never get it. Never get it. They won't get it. And this is what kind of caused the controversy yesterday, because then he preached Isaiah chapter 6 when the Most High gave Isaiah the charge to do this to this group of people. And guess what happened? That was many thousands of years ago. And guess what? This was something that was transferable from generation to generation to generation to generation for it to meet up in his time and these be the same people. Some powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. You know, and it caught a lot of people on guard. A lot of people got afraid. A lot of people was upset. They were like, wait a minute now, hold on. But it is what it is, and it says what it says. So I brought that, I'm with you, sis. I see you, Eric Cole 904, and I brought that up to say, let's stop debating over people who don't believe this and don't believe that and can't see this and can't see that, because everybody's going to do what they're going to do. It's already purposed who's going to get what and who's not, and we need to move forward.
Hallelujah.
Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
Many are called. You are chosen.
Exactly, sis. But when you understand that this is something that Yah did, there's nothing you can do about that. Because when he set it in motion, it's a wrap. What can you say? You can't change their mind no matter what you try to do. It ain't going to work.
It's like separating the wheat from the tares.
We use that parable, too. We did. We went there and used that parable, too. See, but the difference, and like he said, the difference between the wheat and the tare is you can't see the difference. The angels have to separate them. But there is a group of us that have been, it's been generationally passed down, and they can't see it no matter what they try to see. No matter what. It doesn't take away from the fact that they're Israel. It doesn't take away from the fact that they are part of the 12 tribes and that they even have the bloodline. This right here is critical. When I seen that, I said, oh my goodness. This settles it right here. This right here settles every debate. It settles every issue about Messianic and non-Messianic. It settles every issue about whether we Israel or not. It settles every issue about the church and why some of the people in the church don't get it and some will. It settles the issue. Hold on, here we go. Area code 904, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Brother Uriah. I'd rather tell and say something, but I just wanted to say, most of what you already said already made my point. When you first started the lesson yesterday, I didn't know where you were going with it, and I was a little confused. However, when you precepted that in the New Testament, it made all the sense in the world to me, because no matter what you say to those certain people, they just won't get it. They just won't get it. What throughout history of Israel, throughout the scriptures, and even now today, something as simple as what sin is, if you ask people what that is, they don't even know that, even by reading the plain scripture. So that it got to be true. It is definitely true that some people just will never get it, no matter what.
They'll never get it. And you know what? It doesn't take away from the fact that some of our family members' eyes have been blinded to a certain point, that the Most High is going to wake them up at a certain time. That's not those groups. I'm not talking about that group. And even with some of the people who don't believe certain things, some of the people will change back from the way they started. Because I know a whole lot of people that started believing the whole book, and then somebody came along and turned them against the New Testament. Those people going to come back. I'm not talking about those group of people. Some people are going to start out thinking it was one way, and then the Most High will do whatever is necessary that needs to be done to get them where they're supposed to be. I'm not talking about those group of people. I'm talking about the people that will never see it no matter what you do.
They'll never see it.
I agree 100%.
And you know what? That shuts down all debates, everything. No need to debate. You're not going to change them. And guess what? Even some people that see it all won't get it all. They won't. Now, that's the wheat and the tare. I believe the wheat and the tare are the people that see it and still don't get it. It's something in their DNA that takes them to the point where they can't, they won't be able to ever understand it. Not to the fullest extent of the degree necessary. You know, and it stepped on some toes. Oh, my God, we stepped on some toes yesterday. We really did. But, you know, this is what it does. What does the scripture say? The word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Let me find that scripture. And that's not no joke. Because sometimes it could. For real. I mean, seriously, it really do. That's Hebrews 4 and 12. Let's get it up here. Let me read the word saying it do. It says, for the word of Yah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And that is the truth. This settles the whole thing with Yah. It's like, oh, Yah would never do something like that. He would never deliberately cut out a certain group of Hebrew Israelites that's Israelite. He just did. Cut them out. They'll never see it. They won't. It doesn't change the fact that they are blood-born. It doesn't change the fact that they're Israelites. They just will only get to go to a certain point, and that's it. That's it. And even though you can show, and you know, it really goes to the fact of the people that's in the church, you know, because now some of these people just can't see it, but you got some people that just refuse. They like, no, we rapturing away. That's it. That's all. You know, but you got to understand some of these people. You got to understand these systems are ran by Lucifer. He runs the systems. I know it's hard for a lot of people to accept that, but you got to accept the truth. You know, and some of these pastors are connected. They're Masons. They're 33 in the third degree Masons. Some of these people have pledged to different societies and all kinds of stuff, and they are connected. That's how they're able to be all out on mainstream TV and the faces that you see. You got to be able to see it for what it is. It is what it is. In the New Testament, he tells you this is something that has been hid since the foundation of the world, that there is a seed in the earth that belongs to Lucifer. And he has children. He has children. Area code 972, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am actually looking at Titus 2:11 because I hear what you're saying. But Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And I do believe that there is a seed, Satan. But also I think that some people may have one chance and one chance only. And after that, because I was listening to a reading of Jasher, I think it was Jasher yesterday, and it was talking about Esau, 27th chapter, and how he actually cut off Nimrod's head and how he plotted and planned, because I didn't know that that was the backstory to how he sold his mess of pottage. People were after him, and he said, well, I don't need it anyway. So then he goes to Jacob, and he sells birthright. And I always thought Jacob had tricked him, but no, this man willingly sold it because he'd already committed an offense that he thought was going to cost him his life. And so he thereafter, his life just kind of went along that same trajectory, but he was the one that made a deliberate choice as to how he was going to live, and that may have been his only chance to really not go down that path. Thereafter, it was set. And then I think I look at what some people do. It's like they look like us, they act like us, they can be among us, and given the opportunity, they will kill with impunity. They will do all kinds of things that say Israel doesn't do that. But I think maybe because they are that seed, that they may have been given one opportunity to not go down that path. But thereafter, it's done. They don't have another opportunity. Because I see here in Titus where it says that, you know, he's appeared to everyone. You have a chance.
Not these people. These people don't get a chance. They have already been seen. Now, there are some people that have a chance. We said that earlier. There are some people that will have a chance to repent and change their mind. But these people won't get a chance because they're not going to change. And he told them.
Oh,
that.
No, they don't have a chance to repent. I don't say that they have a chance to repent. I think they have a chance to make a decision. And if they make the wrong decision, there is no repentance from that. There just isn't.
These people don't even get a chance to make the decisions because their mind has already been closed. They can't even think decisions. This is over with for this group of people. And he told you why. He was having that conversation with them when he was talking about Abraham. And we read that yesterday when he told them, they said, we be of Abraham's seed. He said, not only if you was of Abraham's seed, you will rejoice. Because Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. And then he agreed with him. He said, yeah, you are of Abraham's seed. So these are people that are Israelites that have a DNA in them there is no repenting for. They can't even think decisions. Now, there are some of us that will be able to say, okay, I messed up, I made a big boo-boo, I want to change, I want to do something different, yeah, I'm sorry. There are some groups of people that are in that position, not these. This is over with for them. And anytime the Messiah says it's over for them, they don't get another decision, irregardless of what Titus says. If Yahushua says, this is so that Isaiah's prophecy would be fulfilled, that's it. You don't get another chance. You know, and we have to be able to read the Bible in perspective because nobody supersedes him. No matter what they say, they can have a thought and they can write down the thought. Well, I think it would be probable for all men to be. That's not what he just said. He said these people are, this is it for them. That's not all people. That's not all Israel. That's not just Messianic or non-Messianic. This group of people will never be able to repent. It's not even in their minds. They can't even think, change my mind. They can't. The Most High has clouded their mind to the point where there is no changing. They're going to think one way, and it's going to be one way only, and that's it. They're not the rebels. Now, you just described the rebel. They're not the rebel. These people have already been, they blinded. And just like we was blinded before we opened up our eyes, and he had to come to us and touch us in the mind to be able to even receive the fact that we was Israel. Because for years, we thought we were Gentiles. And you still got black people just running around talking about they Gentile. So they're in the state that we was in before with no changing. It's not going to change. Not that group.
Well, I see Esau as a rebel as well because he had a series of choices that he could make. But I'm saying, I understand what you're saying, and I see in there that, just say, I'm born. I'm a Satan seed. I'm born. And my every instinct is to do that which serves him and is self-serving. But there is a point where I have a choice. I can say, I'm not going to. But if I make the choice, I'm just going to move ahead. I will never, ever have another opportunity to take a different point. That's all I'm saying. And see, from there, there is no forgiveness. I'm not going to go back and ask forgiveness because in that one window where I had a possibility of not going down that path, I chose to just go ahead because it's in me. My inclination, everything in me is there. But that one moment, there was a possibility that I didn't have to fulfill, that I didn't have to be a part of that group, even though my destiny is to be a part of that group if I don't, at that one little juncture in time, because that's where I see grace, the unmerited favor of the Most High, is appearing to all men. But from there, I do not have a chance to say, oh, please forgive me, I've gone back, because that is not even in me to be so inclined. I just have that one moment of grace. Otherwise,
again, you're going against the word of Yah. You're contradicting, you're going against the word of Yah. You can't just say that. You can't say, okay, I feel like, you know, just they get one,
no,
they
but,
don't get a moment. Sister Lafontia, let me read.
Okay.
Let me read.
All right.
I'm going to read. Let me humor me for just a moment.
Certainly.
Okay. For just a moment. Let's read this. Let me read it again. I'm gonna do it one more again for you. Let's do it again. And let's see. All right. Let's go back up. I'll start over. Isaiah chapter 6. Here, this is what it says. It says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Most High sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain, that means two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Most High host. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Most High Host. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the thongs from off the altar. Hold on. He pulled up, and it says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this is touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And also I heard the voice of the Most High saying, this is God talking, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Watch. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. So he told him, go and say this over this people so that there will be something done unto this people, and watch what is done. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy. This is what he did, and shut their eyes. They cannot see it, sis. No matter what you say, no matter how you put it, they can't see it. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Watch. Then said I, Yah, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land utterly desolate. Watch. And the Most High and the Most High have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the seed shall be the substance thereof. Now let's precept this again. John chapter 12. Then Yahweh shall say unto them, where's John 12:35? Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Yahweh and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of the Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Yah, who has believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Most High been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. Hold on. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So even in that, Sister Lasantia, there were people around of high stature that did believe. Their eyes, they were not a part of that group of people. Read it, it says it right here. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So you got two groups of people, sis. You got some never see it, some that will.
I do understand
now,
that.
That if you've ever met somebody that you believe is of the serpent seed, they think totally different. They think totally different. I mean, totally different. And you'll sit and look at them like, and I'm not talking about people that have fathers from different nations. Let's throw that out the window. I'm talking about Israel. These people think totally different. They have a totally different concept. And you'll look at them like, how did you come up with that? They just don't think like we do, but go ahead.
Okay, I understand that there are two groups, and I was following along as you were reading. But one of the things I note here is, first of all, to me it's like we're assuming that this is we're talking about serpent seed, because I don't see where it specifically is even kind of referencing that. But it says, make the heart of the people fat and make their ears heavy. So at one point their ears were not heavy, and shut their eyes. At one point their eyes were open, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. So at one point this was not the truth for them. They had ears that were open. They had eyes that were open because they were shut. They were made heavy. And then when we go back and we look at the 40th, he says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. So at one point, the heart was not hard. At one point, the eyes were not blind. And at one point, so that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. So I understand what you're saying. I'm not going against that. But I also see I see something just a bit different. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you have a right to do that. You have a right to see it the way you see it. And I don't mean to, you know, just all I'm saying is it's a harsh reality to accept, and I know it is. I know it is. I know, because some people didn't even call in today. They got upset. They got attitude. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, we want everybody to be saved, and we want every, especially Israel. Some of Israel believe that because I'm Israel, I'm automatically got a shoe in, and that's not the case. That's not the case. You know, and if you go down further, when we read in Matthew chapter 13, and he brings up that same parable and that same mystery, you know, he begins to break it down with the wheat and the tare. He breaks it down. He breaks down the wheat and the tare, and he lets you know that some of the seed, that's Israel, has been planted among us, and even though they have they look like us, they have some of the bloodline with us, he said the angels are going to come and separate them. They're going through the motions, they have the guards, they have the whole nine yards, but there will be a separation. And all I'm saying is that there are people among us that are conscious and unconscious that will never fully get this. They won't get it. You know, and you know what? I'll say this. You're absolutely right. You're right. There was a point before their eyes were closed that they probably had a chance to repent. Before the Most High issued that verdict, that edict for Isaiah to do that was probably their opportunity. But once it was issued, it's issued.
That's true.
Because this is generational. Do you know what I'm saying? For this to happen during Isaiah's time and all the way up through the New Testament to the generations, this was generational. So they probably did have an opportunity to do that. I'm just speculating at this point. They probably did. But somewhere along the line, they didn't. And so he said, okay, that's it. Because this evil will continue generational after generation after generation after generation after generation for this particular group of people.
Mm-hmm. But that's what's so lovely about reading the Bible is that as we've been reading down through here, through the Bible, I've learned so much because we started by looking at kings who made decisions that were contrary to what the prophets told them and what the Most High told them to do. And we could see how those decisions, just like the man Hezekiah, when he was told that he was going to die, and he was granted favor, and he was granted 15 more years, and in that 15 years he had a son that was born that was horrible, who caused the death of so many Israelites. Yet had he simply accepted the word of what the prophet said, that would have been done away with. Or else those Israelites who were told to go in and kill all the women, all the children, all the men, and yet one person said, oh, this innocent little baby, I just can't get, there's nothing that he can do. Several generations later, he has his whole household. He has children that household grows up, they hate Israelites, they slaughter them because somebody, generations back, did not obey.
Exactly. So maybe
I've learned that.
That.
I know that. So when you talk about the seed going down, I said, I see that clearly. And sometimes things happen and we wonder why. But if we trust the Most High, and really if we, this is where you have to hear from him and know who you're hearing. Because as I say, he's kind. Loving, sometimes the things that he does that they can hurt, and yet he says, I love you with an ever dying love, and the things that he does so that they will benefit us and those that we love. Even sometimes it means separation, but he sees down the line. And
down
so
the line.
There
you go. Absolutely. And look at Saul. Look what Saul did. He told him to go in and completely eradicate the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. And the Agites, and he didn't do it. He refused to do it. He didn't kill everybody. He left the king alive and some other folks alive to the point where, guess what? He had to wait 500 years later for Esther to be born to go in and finish the job. He knows more than we know when it comes down to the intent of people's hearts. And no matter what you try to do, no matter how you try to fix it, it's not going to change. I mean, look, for instance, let me use an example, and I think you're absolutely right. They did have a period to repent. And by the time the Most High got to Isaiah, that period was over. But look at the church. Let's do the church. You got the Christian church. You came from it. I came from it. We came from a very staunch spiritual background. You and I both. I've heard the stories that you told. But you look at it, really, when you really look at it, you got the white people over here, and you got the black people over here. And the white people say they believe in Jesus, and the black people believe in Jesus. But clearly, there is a division somewhere where they don't want to worship with you, and you don't want to worship with them. And the fact of the matter is, whether this is y'all doing, I don't know. But I know one thing for sure, is that if this was on the up and up, then everybody would be worshiping the same God together. They would. But the Most High knows the intent of the heart and why the people are doing what they're doing. Now, eventually, because of the one world religion, everybody's going to come up under the same umbrella. Now, how that's going to work, I don't know. But he knows down through the years how this generational thing is going to go. It's the same way with hatred. Hatred, it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And I used to wonder, as a kid, I wondered, how old do they let their children get before they have the talk? Because, see, we all have two different the talks. You know, we as black people have to give our children the talk about how to be safe in an environment that we're living in. But they give their children a different the talk about the difference between the black and the white. I just wonder how old they get, that they have to be before they have that talk. And it's different for us and them. So the Most High knows, he knows everybody on this earth, and he knows who he's dealing with and what's in their heart. And when he issues an edict like this, it is what it is. It's nothing nobody can do. You won't be able to wake them up if you stood on top of your housetop and stomped and screamed with a bullhorn. They ain't going to see it. They're going to be like, why is that crazy lady up on that roof? And you could be sweating and crying, and they just can't see it because he deliberately fixed it where they couldn't see it. And that is real. We ain't even dealing with the other nations. We're talking about our own people. That's crucial. Like you said, he knows. He knows generationally what he's doing and how he's doing it. And the fact that you have come to terms with that is a blessing, because now you know how y'all operate. Because back then we all thought it was about love. Oh, he would never do anything like that. He loves us all. That's not the kind of God we serve. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He will cut you off. I remember one of the brothers asked me when we was talking about watching TV. He was like, why do you like to watch cop shows and shooting shows and all that kind of stuff, or army military shows? They don't do nothing but kill. That's what we did, too. All through that Bible, we got killers. We erased nations, cleaned them out. We did. Because we was instructed to. By God, by Yah. So it gets brutal. But don't nobody want to face that side of it because, like my son said, we have been given an after-school special. They have portrayed him in an after-school special with the birds chirping. He's so lovely. Yeah, he is all that, but he's treacherous too. He will cut you off. You will breathe no more. He cuts all out. We ran that with the witches indoors. In one of the first Samuel, I think it's chapter 29, I think it's 28, where he told him, why you disquieting me? He said, because y'all ain't talking to me. He said, because he didn't cut you off. What you think going to happen? Tomorrow, you and your sons is going to be with me. Crucial. So it's rude. I mean, you know, but guess what? Only Israel will be able to tell the people about our Elohim, because only he has revealed himself to us in this manner and why he did what he did. Because if you go back to the Christian way of thinking, they're going to bring everything back around to the Gentile being saved out of it all. And that's not the story.
ain't the story. It's like, man, when you get through, it's going to, I told my mom, I said, read the book of Obadiah. It'll tell you all about what's going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think the Gentile will be saved, but because we have been in a period right now, I believe it started when we had President Obama. People were in the Valley of Decision. He says, you know, the Valley of Decision. We've been in the Valley of Decision for quite a while, and at this point, a lot of people's choices have been made, and there are choices that they cannot go back on. And when we're talking about the white church and the black church, I have probably a unique experience because I was raised in a biracial church. My pastor was white. His wife was black. And when he married her, it caused such an uproar because before we were basically separate. You had your white families, your black families. They came together and they worshiped, and we were all equal until he decided that the Most High had led him to marry a black woman. Oh, people were flipping through the Bible trying to find out why it was wrong. We had all kinds of people running through. And so, you know, I know we had the talk about being safe, but they had the talk, I think, when they realized that their children were looking at the other children as equals and said, oh, what? No, we can't have those white girls marrying those black boys, and we can't have this. And now we have a white man marrying a black woman. There was a point where all of those families just quietly got up and moved to Oregon. And I said, basically, good riddance to bad rush. But, you know, the thing is that we were all sitting there worshiping a white Jesus. And what we were doing is we were worshiping Satan. We were giving all of our energy to him. As long as we were coming together, worshiping in the way that they felt was appropriate, because they said there was no hierarchy in the church, but there really was a hierarchy because they decided who... There was an informal hierarchy, let's just put it that way. But the thing is that I realize now we were worshiping Satan, and, you know, we had the fans, had the white Jesus on them. Nobody ever questioned it. But if we had been worshiping in a black church and we have a black Jesus, all of a sudden things changed drastically. But we have been given the image of Satan, and that is the thing that's going now. And so a lot of people, they can make all kinds of professions, but it's what they do that really is going to tell whether or not they will be able to accept the true Messiah, because a lot of people will not give up their worship of Satan because it's bound up in that image. We were told not to make images. So I think a lot of Gentiles are saving them. Those that will be saved have already been selected in all likelihood.
I believe that the Gentile that is going to be saved has already been earmarked. I really do believe that. Just like Israel that's going to be saved has already been earmarked. Now, we don't know who they are, you know, and clearly we are not a part of that group that their brains have been seared, or we wouldn't be here. You know, those people will not hear any of it, none of it. They just won't hear it. So, I mean, you know, it's a situation where I know it got kind of sticky yesterday, and I, you know, sometimes it's difficult, but when I saw that, I was like, wow. You know, because there's another separation of a group of people, and a lot of people think that because they're Israel, they got a shoe in, and that's not the truth. That's so far from the truth that I can't even say it. So I just want to say that. Let me open up Brother Adonijah's mic. Shalom, shalom, Brother Adonijah. How are you today?
Shalom, shalom. I'm great. I'm a little late calling in. I got a phone call from my son, my oldest son. You understand?
Wonderful.
I didn't want to hang up on him. You understand? He was just wishing me a happy Father's Day. And let me know that he's coming to visit me.
You know what? I completely forgot today was Father's Day. I completely forgot, you guys. I am so sorry. We usually don't even have class on Father's Day. I don't know how you guys feel about that. You know, but I just want to go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry, but we will definitely end the class, you know, when we get finished, because I want you guys to enjoy your Father's Day. I forgot about it. I did. Go ahead, Brother Donnie.
Well, you know, it's all right. You understand? They don't do nothing but call. You understand? My daughter called me. You understand? My baby boy called me. My other kids, they doing their thing, and they probably call later on tonight or maybe tomorrow. That'd be fine with me. You understand? I was really excited about my oldest son calling me. I haven't heard from him in
Wow, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Brother Yawashmai, what about your Father's Day? Are we interfering with your Father's Day? And any other men that's on the line, happy Father's Day, you guys. I forgot about
it. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you
very much, you know. I'm kind of, you know, got spoiled by my kids, even though they're not here right now at the moment, but they kind of called me and spoiled me to death, you know. But, you know, it's not interfering. The truth is all I look for anyway. But, they, you know, it's been a great day. It's been a great day. We're going to have a really good later on. We're going to see Sister Rachel's around, and I don't know what she got planned, but she's sneaking around somewhere.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what, Brother Yerushalayim, Brother Uriah, Brother Adonia, Brother Jeremiah, Brother Mikael, all you are, all the men, Brother William, everybody that's on this line, and if you're a father and we miss you, Brother Gary, Brother Tarzion, and all the brothers that's on the line, we say happy Father's Day to you. We completely forgot all about that. I really did. I am so sorry about that. I am so sorry. I hope you guys have a wonderful Father's Day. I really do. You know, and you know, we fathers are so important. We don't realize how important fathers are, you know, and how much you guys mean to the dynamic of the family and the, you know, just to be around and have that strength there and all that kind of good. That's just a blessing, you know. And sometimes mothers get mad because the fathers ain't do nothing all through the kids' life, but all he got to do is show up. And the whole attitude changes, especially with girls, you know. So we can't take away the way y'all have set the dynamic of the family up and the importance of fathers. I mean, you just don't understand that, you know. So I think it's great. You know, I didn't mean to forget you guys because we usually don't have a class on Mother's Day or Father's Day, you know, and we can always pick this up next week, you know. So I just didn't want to mess up you guys' day. You know, I didn't mean to hold it this long. Brother Donny, I thank you so much for letting me know, you know. But I think that, you know, we have covered enough today. I want you guys to enjoy your day. Go put your feet up, turn the music on. Have a nice glass or whatever, you know, whether it's Kool-Aid, lemonade, tea, whatever you like, and enjoy your day because you deserve to have a great day today. And if anybody wants to say Happy Father's Day, please click one. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Donia.
No, I just said I appreciate you. You understand? You know, but you know, I got my feet up every day. I'm good.
That's because
you
live in a life of
leisure.
We all don't have that grace. True. You retired. You know?
I love my kids. But all I need is a phone call from them, man. I don't want to see them every day. And, you know, and they can bring the kids by, man. Don't leave them because I'll bring them to your door.
And that's the difference between mother and father.
I ain't never had no babysitter. Never. And I had seven children, you understand? So none of them, you know, they didn't get, you know, I was really afraid of babysitters, you understand? I didn't know how they was going to treat my kids, and I didn't want to, and see, I had a reputation of being a mean guy, you understand? You know, I love my kids. Don't get me wrong, and if I can help them in any kind of way, I try to do that, you understand? So they just good kids, man. You know, you understand? I pray for them that they don't get into none of this nonsense that they got going on. You understand what I'm saying? And that they come back to the Almighty when they really need it, they're going to come back to the Creator because that's what they know. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we always have this show. I think this has been a very good show as well, you know, and we just want you guys to enjoy yourself. We don't want to do anything different on Mother's Day than we did on Father's Day than we did on Mother's Day. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to end the call. You guys enjoy the rest of your day, and please forgive me for my oversight. Enjoy Father's Day because you deserve it, and we will see you guys on Tuesday. See the women on Tuesday night. And we're going to see the men's call on Tuesday night. And you guys enjoy the rest of your day. And shalom, shalom, everybody. Have a wonderful Father's Day. Shalom.